Now from Times Square, here's what you need to know.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to What You Need to Know. Happy Friday. Mm-hmm. We have made it. Yes. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
I love that you said we've made it.
We survived.
Feels so good now. I'm DeMarco Morgan. We are so glad that you are with us here on GMA3. Dr. Jan is in Los Angeles. And Dr. Jan, we got a treat for our viewers because we have the rock band Fall Out Boy in the house. They've been together for more than 20 years, and they rocked it out for us.
So much
fun. Yeah, cool little treat. But we're also keeping an eye on this big number right here. 15th seed Princeton Tigers going up against 6th seed Creighton tonight, and the Sweet 16 matchup in Louisville as March Madness moves on. Play ball.
Yes, I am enjoying watching the madness.
Yes.
Because it has been mad.
Yes, it has.
And Dr. Jen, in medical news, a new CDC report has found a growing number of children are being diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder across the country. Break this down for us. Why are we seeing more of this?
Well, this headline, you guys, is getting a lot of attention, so I really want to do a deep dive behind these numbers so people understand them, because the numbers are alarming. What the CDC found, looking back as recently as 2020, now one in 36 8-year-olds diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder. How did that change in a 2-year period from 2018? It was one in 44. They saw a dramatic increase in the rates amongst Black, Hispanic, Asian Pacific Islander children compared to white children. Now, what's behind it, Eva? As you said, first of all, when you look for something in medicine and science, you will find it more. So we're definitely more on the lookout for autism. But we're also not sure how the pandemic is playing into this. And what I mean by that is, even though the 2020 numbers were up so dramatically compared to 2018, and this is before the pandemic, we obviously saw a pause during the pandemic of screening and diagnosis. So actually, the numbers may be even higher than this report suggests. It's just not clear at this point.
So, Dr. Jen, for the parents who are watching, if they suspect their child has autism spectrum disorder, what should they do?
Well, first of all, when you become a parent, you should know in general what the normal developmental milestones you should be on the lookout for. Obviously, you want to keep in touch with your child's pediatrician and trust your instinct. If you think something is not right, regardless of your child's age, you want to speak up, ask for screening. That's going to be age dependent. And then ask for early intervention and resources, because that matters so much when you're talking about autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, speak up. That's the best advice. Dr. Jen, thank you very much. I want to turn now to my friend ABC's Alex Perchet in Washington for a look at the latest headlines. Good afternoon to you, Alex.
Hey, DeMarco, good to see you this Friday. We're going to begin with a developing headline overseas. The U.S. firing retaliatory airstrikes in Syria against Iranian-backed groups after a deadly drone strike killed an American contractor at a maintenance facility in northeast Syria, injuring another and hurting at least 5 U.S. service members. Defense officials say that retaliation comes after a series of threats on counter-ISIS U.S. forces over the past 2 years. And here at home, 30 million Americans bracing for severe weather across the Dallas-Fort Worth area and through the South. Watch for damaging winds, large hail, and possible tornadoes throughout the day. And testimony may come today that could be key to whether special counsel investigators charge former President Donald Trump with mishandling classified documents after leaving the White House. Sources familiar with the matter tell ABC News. An appeals court ruled Wednesday Trump attorney Evan Corcoran must testify and hand over records. That appearance expected today. Trump has repeatedly denied any wrongdoing. And here in Washington, Democrats and Republicans have found one thing they agree on: a lack of trust when it comes to TikTok. The CEO of the popular app grilled on the Hill, facing 5 hours of tough questions about privacy and security. Although he says a firewall will protect U.S. users' data, lawmakers weren't buying it. They're considering a ban. And after some roller coaster college court action, half of the Elite Eight is set. Kansas State pulling out an OT thriller against Michigan State. They'll face off against Florida Atlantic as their Cinderella run rolls on. And in the UCLA-Gonzaga showdown, the Zags victorious, heading to their 6th Elite Eight. And on the women's side, the Sweet 16 tipping off tonight. You can catch all this action on ESPN Today. Guys, I don't know about you, but my plans this weekend are set. I will see you on Monday.
You know what, Alex? The games always feel better, too, when they're won in overtime. It's just about the excitement.
I just like the snacks that come with watching
the snacks that come along with watching.
Just saying.
Pop the popcorn.
Right. Yes, yes.
Good to see you,
man. All the fried foods. Also, much more ahead here on GMA3 on this Friday. A major step toward reducing harmful emissions. We'll hear from Ford CEO Jim Farley standing by in Tennessee with some company news.
Plus, the mom on a mission taking the mystery of out of disability for young readers. GMA3, when we come back.
That alarming warning coming from the UN Secretary General this week as he revealed the latest UN climate report. The report says greenhouse gas emissions continue to grow as chances of slowing climate change shrink unless those emissions are cut dramatically by the 2050s.
And today, the Ford Motor Company is unveiling new plans toward reducing emissions. And its CEO, Jim Farley, joins us now from the site of Ford's Blue Oval City Manufacturing Campus in Stanton, Tennessee. Jim, good to see you, and thanks a lot for being with us. The UN Secretary General says it will take a quantum leap and climate action to mitigate global warming. Can you tell us about the Blue Oval City plant behind you and how it's a game changer in your eyes?
It's a game changer for us, and good afternoon to you. Game changer for us because we're really starting to scale EVs. We're number two in the US, and with this plant, we're adding not only 6,000 American jobs, but you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of capacity, and the plant will be completely green. All the electrons that power the plant will be green electricity. So it's not just a story about an electric vehicle, it's actually a much bigger story about modernizing our American and decarbonizing our American manufacturing and industrial system.
And today, Ford's announcing the first vehicle to be built at that plant you're at today, an electric vehicle codenamed Project T. It's a truck, or T3, excuse me, it's a truck. What are we gonna see that we haven't seen yet in other EVs, and when will it roll out?
Well, you know, our Lightning is a best-selling electric pickup in the US, but this will be its successor, and it'll be fully software updatable, so over the air we'll be able to change and improve the truck every day for our customers. And we think it'll be the first technology we're gonna land where on a sunny day on the highway you'll be able to go to sleep in your Ford truck. So it'll have autonomous features for commuters where, you know, you're gonna get the most precious thing in your life back, which is time.
And Jim, it is no secret that Ford has clearly embraced the electrical vehicle market, as of others, and yet EVs have faced their share of problems. About 18 Ford F-150 Lightnings had to be recalled for a battery fire issue earlier this year. There have been Tesla battery fires, GM, BMW, Volvo, all had recalls due to EV fire risks. How can you assure people that your EVs are safe?
Well, I mean, I'm so proud of the Lightning team. They stopped production. We stopped the battery production. We did everything we needed to do. We found that fire. It happened at Ford, not in customers' hands. We did exactly the right thing. Unlike other brands, we stopped the production. None of them got out in customers' hands. And that's exactly what we have to do to build a trusted brand on EV. We're also going to diverse battery chemistry that has less risk, like the LFP battery plant we're building in Michigan.
We have to talk about money. EVs are expensive, more expensive than traditional cars. So if this is supposed to be better for our planet, how do you make these vehicles affordable so everyone who wants one can actually have one?
Yeah, great question. And that's a big part of Ford. Obviously, you know, we democratized affordable vehicles, so that's a big part of our DNA. I think the first part is we have to design the vehicle differently to be a lot more simpler. We have to scale the hundreds of thousands from tens of thousands, like today. We're gonna have to have a more efficient distribution without inventory, like we have today with our dealers. And we're gonna have to build it with less labor content. So we have to change everything, basically.
All right, Jim, before you go, the UN climate report says we have to cut global emissions in half by 2030 and net zero by 2050 to limit global warming to 1.5 degrees. Are you optimistic that the world can reach that goal? Is it possible?
It's possible if companies like Ford do what we got to do. It's absolutely possible.
All right, Jim, thank you very much. We understand the wind is blowing where you are. We wish you well out there in that weather system that is headed in your direction.
Thank you.
All right, up next, right here on GMA3, more alike than different.
That's the message from one mom. She's turned her family's experience into a children's story to remind us all about the power of human connection and kindness. So important. GMA3, we'll be right back. Back now with a children's story that's also a celebration written by a mom on a mission to help parents and kids demystify disabilities and focus on the beauty of human connection. The book inspired by her own family.
It's a privilege to know another human being, no matter what they look like or how they act. Don't ever forget that, kiddo, mom says. Like Me was really born out of a desire to help children understand what disabilities are and to take away a lot of the mystery. In the book, the older brother is kind of talking through some of his thought processes about disability, and he's working through some of the differences, but also some of the sameness. Just like I need a piano teacher to help me learn the notes, my brother needs therapists to help his body know how to move. The book is really a biography of our family. The youngest character has a walker and braces, and my daughter had a walker and braces.
I love you.
I love you.
I'm 36, and I live in central Iowa with my husband, Mike, and my three kids, Eli, Colette, and Eden. Eden is 5 years old, and when she was 2 months old, she received a diagnosis for rare chromosome disorder. And rare chromo is just a blanket term that doctors use to describe anyone who has a genetic disease.
Good girl. Come on, baby girl.
The doctors told us that she would more than likely never walk or never talk. Obviously, like any parent, it was devastating. And as I watched other children interact with her, they didn't quite know how to play with her because she behaved in ways that were developmentally different than what they were used to. Sometimes the people behave in ways I'm not used to. One boy rocks in the corner, saying words I can't hear. A girl cries while stomping her feet and swinging her arms. Or she acts a little bit differently, but she has a lot of things that are similar. She's a lot like you. The other day, my son said, "She's just a lot of fun, and she makes me laugh, and she wouldn't be like that." And it was just this really sweet moment where I felt like, yeah, disabilities, it shapes who she is.
Eden's a very fun sister in many ways. She's very funny in her ways, and it's fun to wake her up. That's probably one of the best moments I have with her.
A lot of parents have written in telling me that the book brought them to tears. It's been incredible to hear from so many families that it really has been the tool that it was designed to be. My hope and prayer is that Like Me really changes the next generation of children.
You know, Eva, I think every child should read this book because it not only helps you understand the differences, but also respect the differences.
Yes, yeah. And books are such a great tool for parents to have these conversations very naturally with their children. So special.
This is a good one. All right, up next here on GMA3, Dr. Jen Ashton with tips on preserving that all-important muscle mass.
And some surprising ways to kick that metabolism up a notch, something we're all thinking about, right? Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts. Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip, In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one group text you won't want to exit.
Ooh. Ah, little Beethoven.
Yes, the Fifth Symphony there. Mm-hmm. You know, Beethoven wrote that right after he found out that he was losing his hearing. It really is a story of hope and despair. And Dr. Jen, you have some information about what actually caused him to be sick.
Listen, Eva, I know you're a science geek like I am, so I know that when you read this headline, you got all excited, as did I, because there was some major medical and scientific detective work just announced recently. We're coming up on, 196 years mm-hmm. Beethoven has been dead, but they've now done DNA analysis on strands of his hair to look for possibly some information about what may have contributed to his death. They were actually looking, as you mentioned, to see if they could find out what caused his deafness. They didn't find an answer to that, but they did find that he had hepatitis B in the months leading up to his death, that he, you know, chronic liver failure. We knew that he had consumed a lot of alcohol. They excluded a lot of other causes for his death, and you guys, they found what's called an extra pair paternity event evidence, which means there were people in his family after he was born that came from extramarital affairs.
Ooh.
So they had different fathers. So you never know what you're going to find when you go back and do hundreds of years genetic yeah. analysis.
Hey, you know, this is a great sign when you talk about progress and how far we have come with science.
Yeah, that's right. And who knows what we can discover in the future.
Mm. All right. Papa was a Rolling Stone possibly. We'll be right back after this. Dr. Jen, what's our prescription for wellness today, my friend?
Thank you, DeMarco. So, I get a lot of questions from people about what they can do to increase their muscle mass.
The guns.
No. Listen, it's super important for women, but it's important for men also because we lose muscle mass as we age. So the first thing is you want to make sure you're actually taking in enough protein. There's a formula for that. And so you want to do it based on your age, your weight, your activity level. Make sure you're getting enough. You also want to lean into that progressive resistance training. That means lifting weights, using resistance bands. Don't keep lifting the same amount of weights. I try to lift as heavy as I can, so you're always putting that positive strain on the muscle. And then you actually want to use your body at faster rates. So just do whatever you're doing a little more quickly when it comes to your fitness routine, whether that's walking, going upstairs. That also stresses your muscle in a good way so that, you know, we can have the gun show, right, DeMarco?
Mm-hmm, ma'am, put those guns down. Those guns are big.
You know,
I'm trying.
A lot of women don't want to do big, heavy weights because they're afraid it's going to make them big.
Yeah, that is really not based in physiology. Of course, there are some women who can get bigger, but I call these my chicken wings. And listen, as we age, you have to stress your muscle. We need the cardio, but we also need the muscle mass.
Fonzie, one of our floor managers, is just dying laughing at you. You know that. Just so you know, you got to get it when you come back.
I'm sure.
All right, folks, so don't forget to submit your questions to us here at ABC GMA3.
And coming up, we're busting some myths around metabolism and the author Eat to Beat Your Diet.
Yeah, plus feeding your spirituality. It's Faith Friday here on GMA3 when we come back. All right, welcome back to GMA3. When it comes to metabolism, there's a lot of misinformation out there about what really works to improve our health and, most importantly, lose weight.
So we called in an expert, the author of the brand new book, Eat to Beat Your Diet, Dr. William Lee, stopped by to help us separate fact from fiction and break down everything you need to know about those big metabolism myths. Take a look.
Well, our metabolism really functions to bring us our energy from the food we eat, and it also helps us become resilient to our life stresses so that we can actually function our entire lifetime with the right amount of energy in our body. That's basically how it works.
All right, so no more speculation. You're going to help us dispel some of those myths. And today, the myth number one that we want to ask you about, genetics are to blame for our metabolism. Can you break that down for us?
You know, how many times have you heard from somebody that so-and-so was born with a slow metabolism and I was born with a fast metabolism, and that's why we have either no problem with our food or we struggle with our weight and our food, right? That's such a common idea. Mm-hmm. It turns out the latest research shows that we are all born with the exact same metabolism.
Oh, I don't want to believe that.
And it's like, you know, it's like an operating system that you would get from a laptop you bring home from the computer store. You open it up out of the box, you boot it up, and it's going to work exactly the same way. Now, it is true, there are some medical conditions, true medical conditions, that can actually compromise your metabolism, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the assumption that most of us make as we get older.
I think we're talking about blaming your parents. Yeah. Let's just be honest. Yeah,
right? Speaking of getting older, myth number two, our metabolism slows down as we get older. Is there any truth here?
Listen, there's a mic drop that has been discovered in the last couple of years that shows that human metabolism from the age of 20 to 60 is rock stable.
Really?
Our hardwiring in our body, 20, 30, 40, 50, pregnancy, menopause, through middle age, that our hardwiring is exactly stable. So that means that 60 can be the new 20 if you follow what your metabolism is intended to do.
And it also means that we're not being honest with ourselves.
I mean, because we're blaming. I felt like it was a lot easier at 20.
Right.
Well, what happens is that during middle age, life happens to us. Mm. And, you know, when you're the first phase of metabolism from 0 to 1, your metabolism skyrockets. 1 to 20, your metabolism actually goes down, 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 right through adolescence. Kids are eating 2 dinners, they're jumping off the wall. Your metabolism is going down to adult level. 20 to 60 is rock stable, but that's when our life happens. Work stress, relationship stress, financial stress,
hormonal
changes, menopause. What happens is that our brains then start to change, and we can take on behaviors that help us gain body fat. And so it's not that our slow metabolism causes us to gain weight and gain body fat. It's the other way around.
It's our family.
It's our
and last myth, William, people say like their metabolism, if I just work out more, I can impact my metabolism. When I was getting board certified in obesity medicine, I learned not so much. It's not really about exercise, right?
Well, staying physically active is important for just general health, including your metabolism. But the real important aspect is that research is now showing there are foods that you can eat. And this is really the exciting part, that we can actually eat specific foods. Research has figured out specific substances, natural bioactives in foods, that can activate and fire up our metabolism. So we actually have the agency to make choices that can make a difference.
We got a little time, but speaking of foods, your favorite food is what, apples? And you said they can help?
You know, an apple a day is supposed to keep the doctor away, right? But actually, there are bioactives in apples, like chlorogenic acid and ursolic acid, that can fire up your metabolism. And what I love about dried apples is it's kind of a snack. It's kind of sweet. You get your dietary fiber, good for your gut health. There's nothing wrong with snacking moderately on dried apples. One of my favorites.
And we took those apples with us.
And ate both bags.
For 2 days I ate those bags.
Ate them in one setting.
So much for moderation.
Yeah, folks, you can hear more on Dr. Lee's new book, Just Eat to Beat Your Diet, Burn Fat, Heal Your Metabolism, and Live Longer. Go out and get it.
Yes, when we come back, how connecting with your faith can transform your life.
It is Faith Friday, up next here on GMA3. Stay with us.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to GMA3 on this Faith Friday. And that was a clip of best-selling author and co-founder of Messenger International Ministry talking about the importance of connecting with your faith.
And now he's helping readers embrace their spirituality with this new book, The Awe of God. Please welcome John Bevere. John.
It's good to be here.
Good to see you. And in the book, you talk about how we all strive to eradicate fear, but you say not all fear is destructive. Tell us why.
Well, if you look at, we try to eradicate, remember those t-shirts, no fear? Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at, there are healthy fears and there are destructive fears. If you look at, fear always produces wisdom, correct? The fear of being mauled by a mother grizzly will keep me from messing with her cubs.
Okay? Smart.
So, the healthiest fear that we can have is the healthy fear of God. Why is that? Because it's the beginning of wisdom. So just as that wisdom would save my life with the grizzly, the wisdom of God, think about it, the wisdom of our Creator, the one who made everything, is available to us. Because not only is the fear of the Lord, the healthy awe of God, the beginning, it is a fountain of wisdom so we can begin to operate in it. The other thing that I think, there's like 40 benefits walking in the awe of God, is that it brings us into a deep and personal relationship with our Creator, and that's what everybody desires.
With your book and with your ministry, you say a lot of who you're trying to reach are people who've stepped away from their faith. So many people have done that. Why is that the target?
Well, you know, I was riveted when Barna came out with its latest study that over 23 million Americans in the last 20 years have gone from practicing Christians to agnostics, atheists, and spiritualists. 23 million, that's one out of every 14 people in America. Not one out of every 14 that go to church. One out of every 14 in America. Paul the Apostle said that in the last days there would be a great departure from the faith, but what he didn't write is he didn't say they wouldn't come back. And I believe, just as John the Baptist was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, I believe there's going to be an army of young men and women and older men and women that are going to go after these lost, and we're going to bring them back into a healthy relationship with God, because that's what everyone desires deep within their being.
All right, it is Faith Friday, and we want you to give us some words of wisdom.
I believe the most important thing we should do is that we should read the Word of God. If we would just read from Matthew a couple chapters every day, what we're getting is food that will build our spirit. When I was a dad, when I had kids, four boys, Christmas was working day. And you know what I did? I would take those presents. I had to build the toys. I'd open the box, throw the toys on the floor, throw the box in the instruction manual over in the corner, and I'd start building the toy. An hour later, I'm done building it, but there's still 10 pieces on the floor. So I flip the switch and it doesn't work. What do? I go get the manual, I deconstruct it, and I build it the way the manufacturer said to do it. And now the toy works. God's the one who made us. He knows what breaks us and He knows what makes us. When we read His Word, we find out how we're created to live.
Such a good reminder. Us humans, we don't like to read instructions, do we?
No, not at all. Never. Thank you very much. Yeah, we appreciate
it. Pleasure.
That.
Thank you so much for being with us. And The Awe of God is available everywhere books are sold. And a treat for music fans coming up here next on GMA3.
Yeah, the rock band Fall Out Boy is here. Their new album is out today. Their eighth, by the way. GMA3 when we come back. Stay with us. Thank you.
Welcome back to GMA3. They're one of rock music's biggest selling bands, churning out hits like Dance Dance, Sugar, We're Going Down, and Centuries for two decades. And today the band is releasing their eighth studio album, So Much for Stardust.
Yeah, we're so excited about it. And joining us now to tell us all about it, please welcome Grammy-nominated rock band Fall Out Boy. Yes, yes, yes. Good to see you guys. And again, welcome. So, Pete, let me ask you. It's been more than 5 years since your last album, Mania. What can fans expect with this latest project?
I think that this is a record that we really took our time with. You know, we started with, I think, the attempt was to start with the best ingredients and keep it simple, but
make sure that each song was taken to its fullest rather than demoing a million different songs, you know. So I think that this will have something for, like, if you love Fall Out Boy from, you know, 20 years ago or from 5 years ago, whatever, I think there's something in there for everybody.
All right. Yeah.
Patrick, you guys are Chicago boys, so you're starting your world tour in Chicago.
Yeah.
Why'd you decide to kick it off at home?
I mean, first off, it was available, but but secondly, more importantly, I mean, that's home. I think there's something really special about the fact that in Chicago, we got to really, you know, play there and grow there. And, you know, Chicago is such an amazing, it's a very underrated city, I think, where, you know, you get to experience all of this culture that goes through there. And I think we wouldn't be a band if we weren't from Chicago. So it's like, you know, I mean, I don't just mean literally, but I mean, also the band that we are, I think, is very much, you know, Chicago is in there. So, you know, we have to start there, right?
Yeah. You guys are becoming OGs. You've been together more than 20 years now. Can you believe it?
Barely.
He's like, barely.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. So Much for Stardust is available everywhere music is sold and streamed.
Just in time for spring and summer. Wow, rocking it out. I'm so jealous of Chicago now because they get you first. What's up with that? Guys, thank you so much. That
amazing
was really, really good.
And
hats off to our drummer as well. Make some noise for the drummer. Yes.
And that is what you need to know for this week. Thanks for being here. I'm Eva Pilgrim.
And I'm DeMarco Morgan. For all of us here at ABC News, happy Friday, everyone, and enjoy your weekend. One more time for...
Yeah!
Step into the world of Hollywood like never before with Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast. Melissa, renowned for her red carpet expertise and storytelling prowess, invites you to join her and her famous friends for hilarious and heartfelt conversations. From discussing the latest binge-worthy TV shows, navigating the highs and lows of life, and dissecting celebrity fashion, there is never a dull moment. With exclusive stories from special guests like Chelsea Handler, Cheryl Hines, your favorite reality stars, and deep dives into intriguing topics like the Where is Wendy Williams documentary, this podcast offers an insider's look into the glitz and glam of Tinseltown. It's not just Melissa's podcast. It's a collective experience where you're invited to join the conversation. So if you've ever wanted a peek behind the Hollywood curtain, subscribe to Melissa Rivers' Group Text podcast now on your favorite platform. Get ready for laughter, tears, gossip. In other words, unforgettable moments that'll keep you coming back for more. Don't miss out. This is one Group Text you won't want to exit.